You're listening to another episode of the Zag Erica Soap here. It's been a while, but glad to be back. Excited to be joined by 2018 North Carolina fellow Seth Palmer is here. We're talking a little bit of politics today. He's going to give us a scoop on what's up in the South. Thanks for tuning in. Let's get to it. Now, Seth, we're recording this a couple days after the NLC application closed for the 2022 fellows. Do you remember how you heard about NLC in the first place? How'd you end up in the 2018 class?
Oh, yeah. Hey, great to talk to you, Eric. I ended up in the 2018 class because I had known about NLC North Carolina for a long time, knew quite a few of the founders, but as far as the availability of my schedule, I was working previously in politics. I didn't have the flexibility to do anything really as meaningful and as long-term as NLC until 18, so jumped right in. Loved it. Still talk to a lot of my folks from my fellows class, and now even get the opportunity to teach other NLC fellows from around the country in communications, public speaking. So anybody who's listening who's jumping in 2022, you may see my face and or my Zoom teaching during that weekend.
Sounds good. Listen, I know you wanted to come on and talk about politics, and your part of the country definitely has some interesting political characters right now. What kind of things do you want folks to know about what's going on politically in North Carolina and maybe the South at large?
Oh, characters is definitely the right word for what goes on here in North Carolina. I mean, we're a battleground state. We're a purple state. We're all manner of descriptive words about how competitive it is here in North Carolina. We certainly don't have some of the very extreme legislative activities that you see in Georgia and Texas, because we have a little bit tighter numbers in our state legislature and our governor has a veto power. Governor Roy Cooper is a Democrat, strong advocate for Democratic policies. Makes things a little more intractable, but at the federal level, oh man, we see some of the most outrageous individuals. Don't want to give my friends in Georgia with MTG any kind of break there, but Madison Cawthorn is definitely one legislator who has taken the full-on bait of the big lie. Frankly, anything that former President Trump was saying, and just ran with it. I mean, he is like the epitome of the far right Trump advocates in Congress, and certainly just continues that mantle as he moves forward, even without Trump in the White House.
Yeah, I was going to ask, one thing that I'm curious about, you know, when there is somebody like Madison or MTG in Georgia, like there's such an outsized Twitter influence they have or echo chamber influence they have. Is there any actual kind of real on the ground constituent services that they do? Their constituents feel any of the benefits of having somebody representing them in the way you would typically expect a public servant to be like? What actually happens in their home district?
Sure. So for Cawthorn's district, it is the farthest west point in the state of North Carolina. It is literally closer. His district is literally closer to the capital in Georgia, to Atlanta, than it is to the state capital of North Carolina in Raleigh. It's that far away on the outstretch of the state. But I think the biggest thing that I've seen recently during the floods that happened in western North Carolina as a result of, I believe it was Tropical Storm at the time, Fred, about a month ago or so, is that from what I heard from constituents in that district, they weren't hearing from Representative Cawthorn. They weren't getting that level of representation that they, and that all of us really expect from our member of Congress. You saw him pop up on Twitter. He was in, I think, California or someplace far away from his district at a gun range doing a fundraiser. So that's not being there for your constituents. That's being there for yourself, being there for your message. And I think that's what's extremely concerning from a practical level for him.
When we come back with Seth, we'll talk a little bit more about if there are consequences for elected officials making some of those choices and also what messages are landing in North Carolina right now. Thanks for tuning in. This episode of The Zag, we'll be right back. Yeah, Seth, I was curious because, you know, in states like Georgia or Texas, the system is being rigged so that there are no consequences for politicians who do very little for their constituents or help in times of need or disaster. And I was curious if the same thing is true in North Carolina. So for the Madison case, is there any ultimate electoral consequence for him not doing the things you would hope someone would do in his position?
I think there probably will be in some respects. While his district is extremely far right, it's about as red of a district as you have in North Carolina. I do think there will be some conversation, at least, about the consequences for inaction. These are folks who live out in that district who are generally below the poverty line in many respects. It is a much more rural, agrarian area, and they're going to get hurt a lot harder than they might be if they were in a rural or in a more urban district, or even a more rural district that's closer to, say, the population centers. So I think there will be some consequences. And I think to your original part of your question, North Carolina has been really fortunate so far that while we're not by any means where we need to be on voting rights, voting access, anything policy-wise to ensure that elections are held free and fair for everyone, that we don't have the policies that we've seen out of Georgia or Texas that really are making outrageous restrictions on the rights of voters. That's due to the fact that Democrats did make gains in the North Carolina General Assembly last election, that Governor Roy Cooper stayed in office, that Attorney General Josh Stein took over the Attorney General's office and has continued his advocacy for free and fair elections. But that's not without peril. I mean, we're all in the South, especially with Republican legislatures, we're one bill away from those type of things. So we all have to stay on our toes.
Yeah. And the last thing, I know you work in communications and obviously plugged in politically. What messages do you feel like are landing with North Carolinians these days? Is it related to the pandemic mostly? Is it about social safety net things, something else? What are you feeling like is firing up the most people as we swing into the midterms next year?
I think the pandemic remains a key message. I think North Carolina has made the strong attempt to keep the messaging focused strongly on health and economic recovery and trying to keep the most people safe as possible. We've been not by any means where we need to be on vaccination, so that message continues to be driven in various different fashions. But I mean, we're seeing mask mandates come back. I think there will be challenges to all of that from a messaging angle, and many politicians have done a good job keeping things moving forward and trying to keep the conversation in a positive direction. I think we're still seeing some messaging from the more national mainstream Republican branding of things like critical race theory, and I have not so much seen anything out of the Texas abortion legislation here, but I think when we go into the midterms next year, it's going to be a no-holds-barred activity of an influx of communications and content from so many different sources. We'll have a Senate race, a bunch of all our congressional races, all our legislative races, a lot of municipal races that got bumped back from the redistricting process that was delayed. I think this midterm cycle is going to be the most aggressive, competitive, and just knockdown, drag out fight that we've seen anywhere for at least my lifetime, if not longer, here in North Carolina. So buckle up.
Listen, thanks for the insight, and thanks for coming on and giving us some look into North Carolina. And thanks everyone for listening to this episode of The Zag. You can catch all past episodes, all the places you find your podcasts, Apple, Google, SoundCloud, Spotify, Stitcher, they're all there. Make sure to check them out. A lot of great episodes up recently with amazing progressives. Until then, and next time, we'll catch you soon.